From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest today is Christian Bauhofer, better known as Minnesota. This dubstep DJ and producer has been steadily rising up the ranks of bass music maestros on the back of huge remixes of Ellie Goulding, The Mamas and the Papas, Mimi Page, huge collaborations with Marty Party, and a slew of original tracks, including the forthcoming EP, Altered States. That's going to be out in November. He's currently on the shadowboxing tour with hip-hop duo Zionai. He closes out the year at Lights All Night in Dallas, and tonight he hits the Central Social Aid and Pleasure Club in Santa Monica for a Halloween spooktacular. Stay tuned. Today's show is brought to you by RDO. RDO lets you listen to millions of songs ad-free wherever you are, on the web and on your phone, even offline. RDO works on your desktop, Android, BlackBerry, Roku box, iPhone, iPad, and more. Listen to popular hits, new releases, critics' picks, classics, and party favorites. Millions of songs to play, share, and discover. Subscribe now for unlimited music and listen without limits at RDIO.com. Okay, on with the show. So tell me, how's the shadowboxing tour with Zionai going? I guess you've got a week or two already in the bag?
Yeah, it's been going great. We did the last 3 weeks. Part of it was kind of on and off, and then the last week and a half was just straight dates. And we're on a little week and a half break, and then we start back up next Tuesday in New York and just go pretty much straight down the East Coast. But it's been a really fun tour.
That's awesome. How do your sounds meld in the live setting? You know, you're definitely coming from a very hip-hop aesthetic, but you're also very bass-heavy and a lot about melody, and Zionai's definitely got a very conscious hip-hop sound. I wonder how the audiences are taking you both in simultaneously.
I think it's been pretty good because my sets usually are pretty hip-hop-heavy, whether it's original hip-hop tunes or remixes. I've always played a lot of that kind of stuff. So going on tour with Zionai and playing that same style of set, I think, has worked well. And Zionai goes the same way, too. They're definitely hip-hop, but they do have a lot of, like, bassy stuff and even dubstep stuff. So I think our sets kind of work well together.
And tell me about Float, the tune that you did together.
That was basically, I was stoked to get to do that, but that was basically a pretty quick tune that we turned around. We just wanted to get a promo tune out for to announce the tour with, and I did that beat in a day, and I sent it over to Zionai and Zumbi, and he put his stuff on it in a day, and it turned out pretty well. So once we're off tour and kind of have some more free time, we're going to get back in the studio and try to bust out an EP pretty fast. And see what happens with that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And speaking of an EP, Float is actually going to be coming out on Altered States. Tell me, how is that album going to sort of demonstrate an evolution in the Minnesota sound?
I really like the new EP because it has five songs that to me seem pretty different. They're at different tempos, and I feel like they're pretty different styles, but people can judge that on their own. But it's basically, you can definitely tell it has like the characteristics of my music in it, but hopefully it does sound like an evolution of my music and it's gotten a little bit better. I'll let people judge it when it comes out.
Yeah, Minnesota, Zionai crew. Watch me flow, 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 flow. Watch me flow, 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 flow. Young Zoom, we flow though. Amplify, we flow though. Zionai. We float down. Minnesota. We float down. Ballin'. We float down. Empire. We float down. IMG. We float down. Shadow boxing. I'm ready for whatever, no competitor could ever sever. I'm seven steps already ahead of ya. zoned out. My speakers is blown out. Minnesota taking over, we bugging the globe out. Young Zoom, I'm cruising a new route. Assuming the position, come sit in my cool couch. I'm chilling, I'm in the building and feeling like ye. For the people who didn't believe, we rocked up all T. You did wrong, my ticket, you did wrong. I'm creeping along with bigger beat in the trunk. I'm hitting the seekers with frequencies till they jump. And spiking the punch, I'm making bombs, chicka-bomb, bomb. Clunk like fat weight, we that great. Back to the back gate, the gold state grapes. Got me holy, rolling like Spicoli. Cuddy, don't you know me? These bars couldn't hold me.
I got a vision in my living OG. Cool with my people, then you folks with me. Know we gon' shine, that's the way it's gon' be. Open up your mind and your third eye see. We can kick it, hey, you already know. I'm building with the family, we about to blow. Know we gon' shine, that's the way it's gon' go. Open up your mind and your third eye flow, flow, flow.
Float, the new one from Minnesota and Zion I. That's going to be on Minnesota's forthcoming EP, Altered States.
I imagine, you know, it's easy to be influenced by the stuff that's around. Have you been embracing or sort of watching with a wary eye the latest trend, you could say, in bass music, which is trap, you know, bringing together elements of Dirty South hip-hop and, you know, really cleaned up, less aggressive bass production. I wonder if you've been trying to, you know, move with the waves or sort of see, you know, what happens with the trend and continue making, you know, purely Minnesota music.
Yeah, I'm definitely always aware of the trends. In regards to trap music, I'm not really making any trap music. I do like a good amount of songs that tunes that people would call trap, and I do put them in my set just because I like the fact that they are kind of taking some theme from the really, really heavy bro step tracks, and it kind of helps make a set more like versatile by mixing it up with that kind of stuff, because it's basically still like high energy club music, but it's taken away from the really aggressive bass lines, which some of the time I do like, but some of the time I think it's a little bit too much.
Sure.
But so for DJ sets, I'm definitely embracing the whole trap thing. But from my original music and stuff, I'm not really producing anything that I would classify as trap. So I guess I'd just say on the DJ wise, I'm definitely embracing it.
Sure, sure. And sort of building off of that, your emphasis has always been on melody versus ripping people's heads off. Do you have a reason for your proclivity towards, you know, more beautiful melodic aesthetics?
Yeah, honestly, that's basically just what comes naturally to me. I do actually like a good amount of songs that people would call bro step, and I do think they're fun to play out and stuff, but when I get in the studio, that's the melodic stuff, and just focusing on melodies and songwriting is what's more fun for me and what comes naturally, so basically that's the reason why I produce that, but I do appreciate the heavier songs. It's just basically about the context, about in which they're, you know, played in and presented in.
Sure, sure. Does that natural inclination towards the melodic come from a background in music? Did you grow up playing instruments?
I grew up playing the guitar, and it probably is from that. Probably early on, when I really first started getting into music, I was listening to a lot of classic rock, like Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin and other stuff. And once I got a little bit older, I kind of got into the emo, screamo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be where like the emotional kind of flavor of my music comes from. I'm not really sure. But I definitely say all the music that I've listened to growing up definitely has had an effect on what I'm producing now.
We'll be right back.
Jetstream from Minnesota's most recent EP, Astral Projection.
So tell me, did you actually grow up in Santa Cruz?
No, I grew up in, I saw someone ask this on the Twitter. I grew up in Minnesota. That is where the name comes from. But I've been living in Santa Cruz for the past, I think it's been 4 or 5 years now.
Okay. And you know, growing up in the Midwest and then going out west, did that, I guess, expose you more to hip-hop? Because there seems to be such a great amount of hip-hop in your sound.
I wouldn't say that is what exposed me to hip-hop, because the later years I was living in Minnesota is when I started to get into hip-hop, like all the Rhyme Sayers crew, Atmosphere, and Brother Ali, and some of the other guys on that label. And that's honestly what kind of got me started in hip-hop. And from that is when I started to discover the older guys in the West Coast dudes and stuff, and kind of got more into hip-hop.
Okay. And so where did production enter into your life? Was that after you had already gone to California, or were you already tinkering around with beat making and production even back earlier than that?
Right before I moved, I had started messing around with production software. It was more to use with, I used to play guitar and sing, and I used to try to kind of make some beats to kind of play over. At that point, I had no experience with electronic music. That was the kind of point where I considered all electronic music techno, like a lot of people did.
Sure, yeah.
And then I didn't really get introduced to electronic music until I moved out to Santa Cruz and found some stuff out here.
Have you sung on any of your tunes that you've produced recently, or is that something that you may never return to?
It is something I will never return to. I was not a very good singer. I really liked writing lyrics, and I really liked writing songs, so that was fun for me. But I never had thought I was a good singer, and I still think I'm a pretty bad singer. So that will never happen.
What about the guitar?
Yeah, I would like to in the future maybe bring that back into the mix. But right now, I'm just really, and probably for the next few years, I'm just really trying to hone my skills production-wise and get pushed those skills.
Okay. So talking about your early production efforts, how far were you along before the Knit Grit remix for Babylon came out? Because I think that's when you popped up on a lot of folks' radar, certainly for myself. That was when I first started hearing about you.
Yeah, okay. Now I'm trying to think when that was. It's hard to tell. I think at that point I was spinning at a good amount of Bay Area parties, not really playing out too many productions, but just kind of becoming better known as a DJ in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure when I did that track, but that track kind of gave me some good exposure to a lot of the blogs and stuff. And kind of got me on some people's radars, I think. It's hard to tell. But it wasn't until after that track that my productions started to gain notice, I think.
Was it something about the track, and Nick is obviously known for being very melodic and symphonic as well, that really spoke to you, and you were able to maybe bottle that essence and repurpose it for your own style?
Yeah, that was part of it. And also at the time, Danny's from San Jose, which is right next to Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd kind of known him. We weren't friends at the time, but I had booked him for some shows, and I just kind of wanted to do a little spin on that song, and also the fact that Nick Grit at the time was really blowing up, and I felt like I had a different sound, but still I could do something that was kind of similar, so it just seemed like a good idea to do. We'll be right back.
Minnesota remix of Nick Grit's Babylon right here on the UNS podcast.
I guess maybe we should back up a little. So when did you start spinning out in the Bay Area and starting to do parties and stuff? Was this, I mean, obviously you were tinkering around with production a little bit, but what convinced you to sort of make the leap into DJing, not necessarily playing out your own music, but playing out the music of others?
I was probably DJing before I was seriously producing electronic music. So like 2008, I started spinning at house parties and stuff. And at house parties, I'd spin just pretty crappy electro house. And then I'd also spin down this hookah bar where I'd play hip hop. And I got exposed to Justice, which was my first like good experience with electronic music. Mm-hmm. And after that, I tried to start producing an electro house. Definitely failed at that. Then kind of started going to some of the festivals around here. The main one that kind of set me off was Symbiosis.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, which was in 2009 was my first exposure to good kind of psychedelic dubstep and bass music. And after that, me and my friends were spinning dubstep and stuff and trying to get booked, and we're kind of unsuccessful at that. So we started to throw our own shows, and that kind of helped us get exposure and kind of get booked by other promoters. So we're spinning shows for about a year, and then started to get better at producing and started to get booked more based on my productions and my DJ skills, I think.
Okay. And so when you first heard bass music, I guess it was, if you were first exposed to it at Symbiosis, probably the more, like you had mentioned, the psychedelic side, the spiritual side of bass music. So I imagine at that time, you probably immediately fell in love with it. I know some people who are sort of exposed to the aggressive stuff right off the bat might be taken aback a little bit, but I imagine this was, you know, already being out in the Bay Area, probably used to hearing psytrance and stuff. Maybe you were exposed to that crossover between the psychedelic sounds and the bass sounds early on and probably eased right into it.
Yes, that was exactly it, because like the one big thing was Mimosa set really kind of threw me into it, and he did it where he was spinning his own dubstep, which was still pretty heavy but very melodic and very psychedelic, but also mm-hmm. in his sets at the time he would play stuff that people now call bro step. Like I remember him playing Borgor and some other stuff.
Sure.
And I just remember after that, me and my friends all went home trying to find like every single song he played, and we started DJing those songs. So yeah, it was a combination of hearing, like having a good first exposure to that music, and just seeing kind of the scene that was around this kind of music, that Symbiosis Festival just had a great community, and then also started going to more festivals like Rain Dance and Freakers Ball. And just kind of seeing the community around it really made me want to get into it.
Absolutely. And now you've become such a staple at festivals yourself. I wonder, you know, when you're going out to a festival for the first time and really crafting a set to be a festival type set, whatever that might entail, I wonder what that means to you. And then having to take that, convert it into a club date sound. I wonder if there's, you know, a lot of thought that goes into, you know, where you are and what you're doing at the time, or maybe I'm just overthinking everything as always.
No. There's definitely different sets for festivals and club shows. I just remember when I was, and still when I go to festivals, when it's like later in the night, you kind of need a lot more high energy stuff. People are there to party and just rage it. So when I do my festival sets, I definitely slam it harder than I would a regular club show. And mm-hmm. part of that is because when you're playing at a festival, there's a lot of people coming out for your set, but there's also a lot of people that are just at the festival and they happen to be at your set.
Right.
So a lot of people are not necessarily looking to hear my like more mellow stuff. They're coming out to the party. So when they go to, when I play like a club show or at a venue or something, and it's almost all people coming out to my music, I will go in and play some of my more mellow stuff because I know people will recognize it and be stoked on just the fact that they recognize it and that I'm playing it out live. So yeah, you're definitely right on. I I and a lot of DJs do develop different sets for different settings.
And I imagine even time of day is played into that. I think the first time I might have caught you was at summer camp this past year, and because you had like a daytime sunset-ish slot, there was a lot of hip-hop in there. But then, you know, at this point, tons of people are coming out to see you anyway, so... You know, the hip hop might have been coming from a place of, hey, you know, we're about to get down tonight. It's the Saturday of the festival, or because, you know, that's who you are and that's who your fans want to see.
Yeah, and there's that, and then I think just a lot of the early producers like Mosa, Marty Party, and guys like that, and Bass Nectar, their sets, the first sets I saw from them did have a ton of hip hop in them, and I really, really dug that. And I think that kind of rubbed off on me, and I'm definitely doing that because of those early sets that I saw.
From Death Star, that's Minnesota and Marty Party, from their Ultraviolet Halo EP. And speaking of Marty Party, tell me, what was it like working with him on Ultraviolet Halo? Did you come together just because you had played shows a lot, or because your production styles were similar, or were they dissimilar and you had to sort of wrestle out these tunes between your different types of equipment and software and all that?
So that came along, I think I had seen a video or something of him playing... Yeah, I had seen a video of Panty Raid playing California Dreaming, so I hit up Marty, because Marty had been just a really big influence, and just kind of sent him some more songs, and he suggested doing a collab. And at that time, I was kind of starstruck, and I was very stoked on that. So we busted out the Rolling in the Deep remix pretty fast.
Yeah.
And then after that, decided to do an EP, and... it worked pretty well because we both used the same software. We both lined it up, so we were using the same plugins and stuff. And both kind of just switched off with each song. We both worked on a song and then switch. And it was pretty easy to work with him, I feel. Hopefully we'll get to do some more in the future.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I wonder, you mentioned the California Dreamin' remix and then the Adele remix that you did for Rolling in the Deep. As somebody who is, you know, intimately familiar now with how things work in the music industry and production and you know, the blurring lines between dance music and hip-hop and pop music, would you ever consider producing an album, not just as Minnesota, but for, say... a pop star like Adele or maybe for a hip hop act? I wonder, you know, as you see your role in the industry evolving, you know, what sort of projects you want to branch out into?
Yeah, I would actually love to kind of produce behind a hip hop group or a good singer, not really Adele style, but I'm not really sure who. I don't know if I have the capability to make like a radio ready track like that at this point.
Mm-hmm.
in my production skills, but in the future I would love to do that. Hopefully, I would just really like to work more with MCs and rappers and produce some more hip-hop stuff. But I'm still kind of, it's going to be a fun experiment to do, to work on an EP with Zion I, just to kind of, each genre has different kind of elements and song structures, so I'm still working on figuring out what a song structure of a hip-hop song should be, because it's definitely, it's similar, but it's different than like bass music tracks. So basically just, I'm trying to work out the formula right now.
That makes sense. And then tonight it's Halloween. You'll be in Santa Monica at the Central Social Aid and Pleasure Club. Any tricks up the sleeve or treats for the audience?
Yeah, I'm kind of working on changing my live setup around. And actually today after this interview, I'm going to be remapping some stuff on my controller. So hopefully I'll get that ready and good to go for tonight. And hopefully I'll be able to develop that throughout the next few months. And basically being on tour with Zion I has really showed me that you can do a lot with live setups if you really put some time into it, because Amp Live, their producer and DJ, does a ton when they're playing live. So I'm really kind of working on developing that.
That's incredible. Christian Bauhofer, we're excited for the rest of the Altered States and Shadowboxing Tour, as well as the new EP coming out soon. Thank you so much for being on the Amp Podcast.
Yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Minnesota's remix of Starry Eyed from the recently single Ellie Goulding, closing out the show. You can catch Minnesota tonight in the LA area. He's at the Central Social Aid and Pleasure Club in Santa Monica, going big for Halloween. He continues his shadowboxing tour with Zion I through the end of the year and hits Dallas for Lights All Night on New Year's Eve. His Altered States EP will be out very, very soon. We've got fan club tickets for sale at tickets.theuns.com. Pick yourself up some tickets for Eodo in Lafayette, Indiana at the end of November, as well as the Beginning of the World Party at the Parish in Austin, Texas on December 21st, featuring the Naughty Warriors and Blockhead. Tickets are only $21.12, so grab those at tickets.theuns.com. We've got even more deals on the way for you, so keep it locked. Today's show was brought to you by RDO. RDO lets you listen to millions of songs ad-free wherever you are, on the web and on your phone, even offline. Subscribe now for unlimited music and listen without limits at RDIO.com. Please visit theuns.com for news, artist profiles, tour dates, and now tickets to some of the biggest shows across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the Uns podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theuns.com. That's anand@theuns.com. Join the conversation at the Uns podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next one.